Good morning. Alan Epstein representing Panorama Orthopedics and Spine Center. Under the Colorado Premises Liability Act, a landowner includes an authorized agent, a person in possession of real property, a person responsible for the condition of real property, or for activities conducted on real property. Under this definition, there can be more than one landowner with respect to a particular property. For example, in Pearson v. Black Canyon Aggregates, the Supreme Court held that the operators of a gravel pit who leased the property could be considered a landowner where their negligence in operating the pit caused the plaintiff's injuries since they were responsible for the activity conducted in the pit. And in Henderson v. Master Clean Janitorial, this court held that a cleaning contractor who had been hired to clean the owner's building could be considered a landowner when the plaintiff slipped and fell on the stairs of the building because the contractor had a legal responsibility for the condition of the stairs. This case presents the issue of whether a commercial tenant in a shopping center or office complex who does not own the common areas, is not an agent of the owner, is not responsible for the condition of the common areas, and did not in any manner create a dangerous condition, can be considered a legally liable landowner under the Act to a person who trips and falls on a half-inch variation on a common area sidewalk.
I think the question then is whether Panorama conducted any activities on the, I'll just call it the property, for lack of a better term. Now, as I understand the facts, Panorama operated an orthopedic clinic. People walked into the clinic. The record shows that they had reserved parking places. Is that correct?
Yes.
And at the reserved parking place, there were signs that said reserved for Panorama patients or something to that effect?
I don't know. They may have.
And the ingress and egress to their clinic was from the parking places across the sidewalk where the plaintiff tripped and had her accident, correct?
Yes.
And is there any other way for this plaintiff to access the Panorama clinic other than to walk across the sidewalk?
Probably not.
So the sidewalk's a necessary pertinent, if you will, to the conduct of the business of the clinic.
Just as a sidewalk in any building complex or office complex or shopping center is a necessary access. And if Panorama's a landowner, then every tenant in every office building or shopping center is a landowner, because all of the parking spots are for, typically they'll say, a parking lot will say for customers only. So if that's the criteria, then you've created landowner status for virtually every tenant or retail establishment or restaurant in Colorado.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but I noticed that on our clocks the time has not been running down.
Oh, it's not okay. On mine either.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Could you set it to about 13 minutes, please? I'm not sure how much time you use, but I'm doing the best I can. I don't have a TV review like the referees in basketball.
It felt like 45 minutes.
Not to us.
Pardon me, Mr. Epstein. I understand and respect the fact that you're arguing that there is a problem here as a matter of law, that your client is not an owner under the PLA as a matter of law. Is there ever a context in which the determination whether an entity or a business is an owner under the PLA is a matter of fact? And if so, what's the difference?
I can't off the top of my head think of a situation in which an appellate court has held that whether the defendant was a tenant, was a landlord, was a question of fact. I guess there could be situations in which there are disputed operative facts, and a trial court or a jury has to resolve that fact in order to determine whether there was landowner status. But then that would still be a disputed issue of fact, which the court would consider in determining whether there was landowner status under the circumstance of the case. But in Pearson, Henderson, every Colorado case, although neither this court or the Supreme Court has articulated it as such, that you have always treated whether a defendant is a landowner as a question of law that you've reviewed de novo based on undisputed operative facts. We're not disputing any operative facts in this case. We assume the facts upon which the trial court relied in bestowing landowner status on Panorama. We dispute its legal conclusion based on those facts.
And here, as I understand the procedural posture, initially the trial court was apparently going to let the jury decide this landowner question, and then there's kind of a mid-trial motion on it, and the court decides the question as a matter of law. Is that right?
Yeah.
The standard of review is problematic here. We have a statute that actually comes out and says that the court is to determine whether somebody's an invitee or a licensee or something like that, but it doesn't say anything similar about whether someone is a landowner. There is one case, and I forget the site, I'm sorry, in which one of the divisions of this court sent that question back and said there was a factual question that was improperly resolved on summary judgment. But why should we treat this question of landowner as one of law that is subject to de novo review?
Because the undisputed operative facts in this case can only give rise to the legal conclusion that Panorama was not a landowner. The facts upon which the trial court relied were the provisions in the lease. For example, the court relied on the indemnity provision in the lease as a factor in considering that that Panorama was a landowner. And the lease provided that Panorama was to indemnify the owner, PPG, for injuries occurring in, upon, or about Panorama's premises.
Well, what does it mean to say about? Because your opposing counsel is really seizing on that word, that must mean something outside of the defined premises.
Well, if it meant something outside of the defined premises, then under basic principles of contract interpretation, the language of the indemnity agreement would have said that Panorama must indemnify PPG for injuries occurring in, upon, or about the premises and the common areas, because the premises are separately defined in the lease and the common areas are separately defined in the lease. But even if the lease had provided for Panorama to indemnify the owner for injuries to third parties occurring on the common areas, the indemnity agreement only affects the rights and obligations as between the indemnitor and the indemnity, not the indemnitor and the injured third party. No case from Colorado, including Constable v. Northglenn, and no case from any other jurisdiction has premised the liability of an indemnitor to the injured third party based upon an indemnity provision. There's no case that I found, and there's no case that plaintiff found.
Separate from the lease, the court did make some findings, I think, based on the testimony. For example, I believe she found that Panorama was responsible for the investigation and preparation of incident reports if there was an accident on the property.
That was based on testimony that in the event there was an incident, that Panorama would create an incident report. My office does that. If a client is injured, we've created an incident report. It's routine procedure. If that creates landowner liability, then every responsible business who's a tenant is also a landowner. That's all she was saying, is that there was testimony that the testimony was based on the human resources person from Panorama, who said, yes, if somebody falls, we create an incident report. And the way plaintiff has characterized it was that Panorama had the responsibility to do that, as if Panorama had that responsibility in contrast with somebody else having that responsibility. Every business does that.
Okay. Panorama did not pay rent for the sidewalk or rent for the parking places. It paid rent for the, as you described it, the premises.
Right.
Had it been paid rent for the sidewalk, this might be a different case. But it was paying maintenance costs for the sidewalk and maintenance costs for the parking lot. Why doesn't that relate to or indicate that they're, quote, conducting an activity on the property?
Because every tenant, whether it's in the lease or it's built into the rent, the cost of the rent, pays for maintenance. That's, they're still not a landowner, they're a tenant. That is a cost, so it's part of the rent.
But as you yourself said, a tenant can be a landowner.
A tenant can be a landowner if a tenant is obligated under a lease to take care of the common areas, or, for example, the Walmart case cited in plaintiff's answer brief built a ramp on the common area, and the plaintiff was injured falling on the ramp. It's possible, but not in this case, because this case, the facts that the plaintiff relied on, with all due respect, is just a big smokescreen. None of those facts change Panorama's status as a landowner.
Let me ask you about one other case that wasn't, I don't think it was cited in either brief, and it's called Burback versus Ken West. And in Burback, the plaintiff alleged that the owner of the premises next to a public sidewalk, not a private sidewalk, was liable for failing to shovel the snow. I'll basically just paraphrase it that way. Court held that they could not be because there wasn't a duty to shovel, the duty that under the ordinance to shovel snow didn't create a liability. But the court used this phrase. It said, although a person is not necessarily in possession of property, but nonetheless has a right to be on that property by virtue of some legally cognizable interest in the property as distinguished from a right of the public generally. Now, I understand Burback would create a lack of liability for a landowner for a public sidewalk. But here, this is a private sidewalk. Doesn't Panorama have some legally cognizable interest in the sidewalk?
No, not any more than any other tenant in any other building or shopping center. They have, of course they have an interest. They're clients, customers, patients can't get into the building without using the sidewalk. If that's the criteria for determining landowner status, again, every single tenant is a landowner.
Well, ironically, the landowners, the PLA was intended to bring owners under it to really to give them some protection. I think that was one of the purposes of the legislative adopting the statute. You're arguing you don't want them to be a landowner. Now, you had a claim of negligence against your client, which was dismissed by the court partly on your argument, or your predecessor's argument, that no, they really should be a landowner, they should be treated as a PLA. Not as a landowner, but under the PLA. Anyway, my point is that if you take a broad definition of landowner, which is I think what the legislature wanted to do when adopting the statute, we could say that it has having a legally cognizable interest, as the Burback case said, as you say they have in this case, does put them under the protection of the PLA.
Well, the protection to which Your Honor is referring is the protection that existed at common law prior to the Mile High Fence Company case. That protection doesn't apply here. The protection is the PLA brought back the different standards of care that are owed by a landowner to an invitee, a trespasser. Those are the protections. We're a tenant, but we're not trying to avoid we're trying to avoid a landowner status because we're not a landowner. We shouldn't be liable under any of those standards.
Here's what troubles me. This jury must have found that Panorama knew or should have known of the danger that existed. They must have found that because they were so instructed they came up with the verdict.
And in every case in which a trial court sends a common law negligence claim to the jury, in which the jury returns a verdict in favor of the plaintiff, and this court or the Supreme Court reviews the facts of the case de novo and determines that that defendant did not owe a duty to that plaintiff as a matter of law, the same thing can be said. And that happens all the time in Whitlock, and Radovich, or not Radovich, that's another case, but in innumerable cases, the Colorado Court of Appeals and the Colorado Supreme Court have reversed jury verdicts in which the jury had to have found that there was negligence based on the determination that negligence, you can't have negligence unless there was a duty. And in this case, landowner status is tantamount to the question of whether there was a duty.
So no matter what Panorama knew, your position has had no legal duty under the negligence statute, which you did prevail on, and it had no duty under the land PLA.
Correct. I'm sorry to interrupt. The lighting system is still not working. I have 46 seconds left, but my light's still green. That's okay. I just wanted to let you know.
I can't explain that. There's some glitches in it.
Ghost in the machine, Mr. Epstein. Would this case be different if Panorama were the only occupant of this property and that this property was basically just big enough for Panorama and Panorama alone?
No, because it would still just be a tenant. And under the lease, the landowner owes that obligation, and the landowner hired a property manager to take care of the sidewalk, and the property manager and the landowner testified at trial that only we have that obligation. We had that responsibility. We compensated plaintiff for it. Panorama didn't even have the right to fix the sidewalk. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel.
Good morning. My name is Susan Morath Horner, registration number 13783.
Once again, there we go.
There it goes. Okay. Susan Morath Horner, 13783, and with me, counsel table, with my co-counsel, Mark Shatton, and the plaintiff appellee, Barbara Jordan. Well, you know, each time I come back to this case and look at the case law and the standard of review, I do have to wonder why we've been brought here. As to each and every point on this appeal. I know they try to dance around it, but every argument that's made in this appeal goes to either the factual conclusions made by the trial court or to an area that is committed to the sound discretion of the court, although Panorama does not make any argument that there was an abuse of discretion.
Counsel, didn't the trial court decide this question of landowner status as a matter of law? That's what the court said it was doing.
Yes.
So
yes.
We review questions that are a matter of law de novo.
Correct. But as she said in her ruling, and she addressed that, she said, you know, this is a matter of law. However, in some circumstances, there are facts that must be determined before you can decide how the law applies.
But as I understand that, none of those facts are disputed. None of the operative facts, as counsel characterizes them, are disputed.
Oh, I would disagree with that.
What's disputed?
Well, this whole question of control of the property and their right to be on the property and how the property was managed. And essentially their complete control over the property.
But the lease does say that the common areas are the responsibility of the landlord.
That is true to an extent. The lease also said that Panorama had the right to make repairs in the common areas.
In the cases of an emergency.
I think that's a question of fact this is an orthopedic clinic with a dangerous condition on the sidewalk right outside the front door. That's a question of fact. Was this emergency? I don't know. But I think that's something that's open to question.
Well, is it a question? Is it a question of fact? Then it should have gone to the jury. But it didn't.
Well, I don't think it should have gone to the jury. And we stipulated, Panorama and Ms. Jordan, we stipulated that this was a matter of law that the court could determine, but clearly based upon the evidence. I mean, she heard 4 days of testimony before reaching this conclusion, and if you look at her order, she goes through the evidence that she heard very methodically, and she refers to, a number of things, but very important to her was the fact that Your Honor mentioned regarding the handicapped parking spaces. I mean, that was very critical. These handicapped parking spaces were reserved under the lease to Panorama, to their exclusive use. Now, that was not part of the building. That was out in the parking lot.
But the lease says that they get the exclusive use of the spaces, but the lease says that the landlord retains the exclusive right to control and manage the parking spaces. That's what the lease says about the parking spaces.
No, not the parking spaces.
In other words, that could be yanked. Say, you can use these, but we have the right to control and manage the parking spaces. That's what the lease says.
I don't think that's exactly what the lease said. I mean, the lease said, I don't have the entire lease with me, but I've got portions of it. The lease said that those under, I mean, they had a contractual right to the exclusive use of those handicap parking spaces for their patients. And that is exactly where Ms. Jordan was headed when she fell.
Well, but the next paragraph, 4.1b, says, all parking facilities furnished by landlords shall be subject to the reasonable control and management of landlord. That's section 4.1. It says all parking facilities.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean exclusive control. I mean, obviously, it was Panorama's patients who were using that.
But the accident here, the incident here, didn't occur in a parking space.
She was walking towards the parking spaces on the sidewalk that leads to the parking spaces. It's the only way to get to and from the building, from the handicapped parking spaces, which belong to Panorama, into the building.
They don't belong to Panorama. It has the right to use them, but they don't belong to Panorama.
Let me
ask you, it seems to me that under your theory of liability, every tenant is indeed liable. You could have sued every tenant in that building because they all used the sidewalk. So under your theory, every tenant in that building was a landowner.
Well, first of all, I think it's important that we distinguish between landowner status and liability. Landowner status is not liability.
Of course not, but answer my question.
No,
are you saying every tenant
was a landowner? Yeah, I mean, as Judge Richmond pointed out, and this is I think a really important aspect of these kinds of cases. The Premises Liability Act was designed to protect landowners. It was designed to create a heightened, a lower standard of care to encourage property ownership, to help mm-hmm. persons who were landowners per se. So it created a standard of care which was different than under common law negligence. And now with regard to invitees, I think it's pretty close to common law negligence. But with regard to licensees and trespassers, it's much different. And they have and landowners have much greater control. So this whole suggestion that there's something bad or negative about landowner status, I think it's just a fallacy. And both the Pearson case points that out. As does the Wyckoff case.
Counsel, with all due respect, I'm not saying there's anything bad about it. Asking you point blank, isn't the logical end of your argument that every tenant in that building is a landowner?
No.
Why not?
Because as to each and every tenant under, you know, whether it's an office building or a shopping center or a medical facility, a court has to go through the same analysis based on Pearson, based on Wyckoff, based upon very established law. What does it mean to be a landowner? It is not ownership status. It's not being a tenant, whether or not you're a tenant. It's not whether or not you own the property or have an easement or have a right of way. The question is possession, sufficient possession, and that's not exclusive possession. That's the first part of the definition. And the second part, which Pearson said, goes to lawfully conducting activities on the area where the injury occurred.
And how is any other tenant in the building any different from Panorama in either of those respects in this case?
I'm not sure that they are, but that wasn't part of this case. We don't have those facts. We don't have their leases. We don't have those facts.
But your position would be if they had the same lease, they would all be liable and your client could have sued all of them. Well, not potentially liable. I mean, we
have to get liable.
Potentially, they would be landowners.
Yeah.
Let me be specific. They would be landowners.
Yeah, but possibly that could be. But we don't have those facts, and I don't know that it's proper to go to factual scenarios. We don't have those facts. Each case is different. And this particular situation, as Judge Offler remarked, she said it's a very unusual landlord-tenant arrangement.
Did she say that? Because I've seen a lot of leases in my day. This is pretty boilerplate stuff.
Well, honestly, I think the lease is pretty boilerplate stuff. I think the nature of this campus was what was unusual. Okay. Whereas they rented, you know, just a certain amount, X square footage in the building. There just wasn't one major building. They rented whatever the square footage was, 50 or 60,000 square feet, I think. But they were allowed, either explicitly or implicitly, I don't know where it came from, but Panorama was allowed to call this entire Golden Ridge property the Panorama Medical Campus. And they used that on their website as a marketing feature.
Well, vis-a-vis the public, it may have given the impression they were the owner, but that's really not what we're doing. We're doing it here with the provisions of the statute, with all due respect. Were they allowed? Did they conduct an activity? If they didn't conduct an activity on this property, they can't be responsible as under the statute. So what I really want to know is, how were they, and it's really Judge Jones's question again, how is Panorama conducting an activity on this property that differentiated in any way from any other tenant in the complex or the building who may have had its clients or patients walk across the sidewalk and who may also have tripped?
Well, again, I'm not saying that they couldn't have been held liable. I wasn't in the suit when the suit was filed, and I don't know what discussions were had about naming the other parties. So they may very well have been parties that could be sued. I think every time a patient walks down that sidewalk and in and out of the door for Panorama's purposes, for Panorama's business purposes, they're inviting these people in to be treated for their orthopedic problems. Every time somebody walks in, they are using, Panorama is using for their business practices, that sidewalk.
Pardon me though, Ms. Horner, and this goes back to a point that Mr. Epstein made. Because this is an issue of law and you've stipulated it to it, we obviously have to take a look at the consequences of a conclusion that these facts satisfy that legal test. What you have said could apply to a Safeway, in a Safeway parking shopping center. It could apply to the small jeweler shop in the same shopping center. And Mr. Epstein's argument is you are basically turning this law into a law where each and every tenant of each and every shopping center is going to be a landowner under the PLA. Now, how do you respond to that?
Well, several ways. First of all, I would disagree that this case does anything different. Nothing in the law is changed based on this situation. Plaintiffs can sue or could sue for this case the exact same parties that they can sue after it. Under the Pearson case, under the other cases, there's no expansion here whatsoever.
Well, counsel, under the Pearson case, it was the tenant who caused the defect, the road. They had mined away the land,
no.
So the road ended.
No, it wasn't the tenant.
It wasn't the tenant. It was. I know that the county was the tenant. They had some arrangement for the mining of the property.
I don't believe there was any factual finding. I don't remember in Pearson that even concluded, and I think maybe it was because it was on summary judgment, as to why the road suddenly dropped off. I don't think that issue was ever reached. The only question was whether this operator could be a party to the suit as a landowner. They never got to the merits in that decision anyway, as I recall, to the merits of how this condition had occurred.
But my understanding is their liability as a landowner would have existed only if they were responsible for having created that condition, just as in Master Clean.
No, I think that's incorrect with all due respect. I do not think that's what Pearson says. It's about possession is in the first instance. This is 1321.115, which, you know, just to recap, for purposes of this section, landowner includes without limitation an authorized agent or a person in possession of real property and a person legally responsible for condition of real property or for the activities conducted or circumstances existing. And Pearson and all the other cases have said this is a very broad definition and we are going to give meaning to what the legislature clearly intended was that the category of landowners is broad, and that's because it is a good thing to be a landowner.
So as I understand your theory, though, you're relying both on possession, if I understand you correctly, and on the create I forget the exact verbiage, but an activity on the property, that portion statute. So you have to kind of...
I think there's two bases here.
Two bases, okay.
Yeah.
And...
But it's not necessary for the party to have actually created the condition.
They could be in possession, your other theory. I understand that. Okay. So did the trial court find that they were both in possession and had created a condition?
No.
What was the specific finding of the trial court?
She did not go to the question of how the condition had been created. I'm sorry, say your question again, just so I can look for the right thing.
I'm just trying to have you remind me.
As to
the specific basis under the statute for the trial court's decision that Panorama was landowner. Was it possession or was it something else?
Right, okay. So, let's see. I've heard testimony that the jury could have heard and that the court can make a decision in this case as a legal decision as to whether or not this individual is a landowner. The court has seen evidence that the entirety of the area is the Panorama campus. It's also quite clear that Panorama is the major tenant and at least references on their website that the other entities are part of the service that they render in totality. So I'm not as taken by the fact that Panorama is a tenant amongst multiple tenants like I see in situations where it's a huge strip shopping center. Here I had a lease, a specific lease stating that Panorama was not responsible for common areas, and that did weigh heavily in favor of Panorama. But I also saw a variety of different instances where Panorama had seemed to exert more control than the usual tenant with reference to the parking lots and the sidewalk and all of the areas that were pertinent to the building itself. And so this is quite a quite different situation than the normal area. I don't think this court's decision is a decision that's going to open the floodgates for or against plaintiffs or defendants. It's so tied to the specific facts.
So this is cut to the chase. Which category? Is it some kind of control theory?
Yeah. So she goes on to discuss Pearson a little bit. She says, of course Panorama is legally conducting an activity on the property. They are using, they're dispensing their medical prowess with reference to a variety of people needing their services. That's no problem at all. Specific factors, were they persons in possession who were legally conducting an activity on the property? And that's the issue that's really before me. I did look back to the lease with reference to this, and I looked at a couple of things, which in concert with the emails, and this all had to do with direction being given to the property manager, and the particular facts and circumstances of the Panorama campus weigh on me, finding that Panorama was a landowner in this case.
Under the control theory.
Legally conducting an activity and in possession.
Counsel, thank you. Your time is up. This case will stand submitted and an opinion will issue in due course. We thank you for your arguments.